It's 94.1 FM, as I said, 3WBC, we're the voice of the Inner East. And if you can't get us on the radio, you can get us on the computer anytime at www.3wbc.org.au. And this is Ian Messer with you with Mess Around for the next 2 hours. It's 8 minutes past two, and I'm pleased to introduce my first guest of the day, and it's Julie Cliff. How are you, Julie?
I'm well, Ian. How are you going?
I'm very well, thank you. Now, Julie describes herself as a professional organiser. Now, I don't think you're organising visits to radio stations. So
not generally, no.
So what are you organising, Julie?
I specialise helping busy families. There's we just seem to surround ourselves with so much stuff these days.
We're all busy, yeah.
We are busy, and we just don't seem to have enough time to get everything done that we want to do. So I help those people put a bit of structure and a bit of routine in their day just to help things run a bit smoother
well,
for them.
Well, that's a fantastic thing. Is that something you've been doing for a while?
I've been running the business for a bit over 2 years.
Right.
And before that, I worked at Melbourne Storm Rugby League Club.
I've heard of them, yeah.
For 15 years.
Right.
So I was always in administration and PA to the right. CEO for a number of years. So it was a matter of I like things in order and so, I like to have a bit of structure.
Well, I was just going to ask you, what gave you the idea for this in the first place?
Yeah, it really did come from that background in admin, and it just seemed to make sense to me that if you needed a red pen, you knew where the red pen was. You didn't have to run around the office for 15 hours trying to find a red pen.
I think my wife needs you. Every second question is, where's this, where's that? She never loses anything, but she mislays things all the time. That's not uncommon, right?
No, not uncommon at all. And that's often some of the first things that we talk to people about when I go into their homes is, have you got a place to put your keys when you get home?
Yes, well, we've got a place to put our keys on the hook, but do you think she does?
There you
no.
Go. Yeah. Well, you can have good plans, Ian.
Well, it works for me. I always know where my keys are. In fact, I get a bit upset when they're not there.
It is frustrating, and I think that's where it came from me as well. Mm. Maybe I wasn't so organised originally, and it really did frustrate me, so I really tried to teach myself how to do these things.
Well, since you've been running this business, have you got more organised yourself?
Yes. Yes and no. I would like to think that I'm not a mechanic whose car breaks down,
right?
But no, most things are quite, we know where things are at home. I do have two young boys, a 12 and 7.
Are they trained?
They are pretty good. You know, when they get home, they unpack their school bag and they know their routine. But not to say there's not Lego all over the house and, you know, they're still kids. They're good, still got to have fun. Mm.
But you've hit upon the key point there is that to keep putting stuff back in the same place.
It is. Have a permanent home for things. Yeah, definitely.
And do most people do that?
With some training. With some training. Generally not.
No.
And they're obviously varying degrees of being organised. Some people do it naturally. Some people just need a bit of help.
I just don't quite get it because I'm fairly organised myself. But so you go and talk to somebody and they say, oh, look, I'm always losing my keys.
Yep.
And you suggest, I guess, get a hook to put it
on.
Hadn't they thought of that already?
Sometimes it is that simple. They really hadn't or hadn't have the brain space or the time to think about doing it. So
that's
sometimes
amazing.
It is that easy. Yep.
Yeah. So this is the whole house you help to organise?
Yes, yes. Often coming in to help with the kids' toys.
Mm.
The kids' toys have taken over the whole house. So maybe try and corral them back into one spot rather than, you know, and have a dedicated room, which is often in the family room where everybody
where people
is.
Trips over it,
but they don't want to play in their bedrooms.
No.
They want to be where you are,
that's
where
right.
you're cutting up the veggies and, you know, where you are at home. So just to be having easy ways that they can pack up after themselves afterwards. It might not be colour coding their Lego like I would like to do it. But if you want a small red square, well, you know,
go to the
red
box.
Exactly.
That's way too
But that's
organized.
Not what kids, that's not how kids play.
They don't operate like that.
No, they'd like one, you know, sort of drawstring bag with a bundle of different things in it.
Yeah.
Pack up before they go to bed and just try and get them in that routine as well.
But I touched upon it a minute ago, there is a serious side to this, is that it's a safety.
Of course, of course. And there are the extremes, of course. I have specialists, friends of mine in the organising world that they do deal with the hoarders and different conditions. But I would be referring on people like that, and I can certainly do that if anyone has any concerns.
Hoarding is a psychological issue.
It is indeed.
It's a condition. I don't think it's easily fixed.
No. No,
I've seen some of the hoarding people on the TV news. It's just unbelievable.
That's right. That's right. But that's, as you say, quite extreme to what we're talking about. But there's, it is very normal to have toys from one end of the house to the other, and that's fine. But if it's worrying the kids and it's worrying the mum and it's worrying the dad and they can never find anything, it's a great thing to be able to help people.
Do people realise it's normal, or do they feel like it's only them who has a problem?
I think sometimes they do put it around and around their head so much they do overthink it. I think they do need to be kind to themselves and really realise that it is normal. And I present workshops to mums to explain part of that as well, that it is a normal thing. But if it is worrying you, these are the steps that we can do.
But they feel better once they realise it's not just
definitely
them.
And particularly if you've got a workshop type environment where you're sharing ideas and somebody goes, oh, well, I do this with my la la la, you know, they get those, get some different ideas from people, and they go, oh yes, oh, what do you do with all those paintings that come home from kinder?
What do you?
Well, there's lots of different things you can do. Having somewhere to put them straight away when you get home, like an art board, and then rotate that.
Yeah,
take photos with the kids.
You can't stick them all up.
Yeah. You can't have them, and you can't keep them forever, and you don't need to.
No,
it's a good way to start learning how to let things go with kinder paintings and that sort of thing for the mums and dads and for the kids. I think you know, this is a beautiful cardboard box creation you've made, you know, Charlie, but we've had it sitting on the dining room table for a while. How about we take a photo, or we'll do a video, you tell me about your story, how you made it, and then we'll take it to the recycling and learn to be able to let that go.
Now, you say, Julie, that you you're happy to do the whole house. So what about big stuff? Do you organise furniture, for example?
Yes, certainly have. I couldn't move it myself, but we certainly have the
contacts. You suggest that maybe you should move that to somewhere else?
Oh, yes, and that's right too. Just being able to move your space around and how that works for you and putting zones in the house, and as we said before about setting the play area up for the kids and those sorts of things. So we can have a look, that's right, at the whole house and see how things flow and how things work for you and move things
that
around.
That could
certainly
be invaluable for some people.
Yes, well, rather than go through with a big extension and put another room on, well, how about we have a go at using the space that you've got now?
Sounds like a good idea, yeah.
Much better on the
there's all
bank
sorts
account
of ways you can save space. I saw one recently which I'd never seen before, which I thought was absolutely brilliant. Is if you've got a staircase which doesn't have fronts, if it's just slats, put drawers in under the slats.
Yes.
That's a really good
idea. That is a great one. You could pop shoes in there, anything that's not very high.
There's a lot of wasted space there.
Yeah, definitely.
Mind you, most people don't have staircases with just slats.
No, but the other ones that have the side panels too, I've certainly seen built-in storage that slides in and out, and that's where people's shoes go. And, you know, just have those nice sliding drawers, touch it in it. And
I like
open
that
and close.
I need that.
Yes.
But any staircase, there's usually room under the staircase put in a room.
That's right. Little broom cupboard, as long as you're not just jamming things in your broom cupboard. Have a bit of order to it, some shelving in there. It's a good, very good use of space.
Exactly. It's 14 minutes past two, folks. I'm talking to Julie Cliff, who's a professional organiser. You mentioned, Julie, before that you would, if it were up to you, you'd put the Lego in coloured boxes. There's a fine line sometimes between organisation and being anal.
Yes. I don't know what that line is, yes.
I know people who put all their spices in alphabetical order up in the cupboard. Is that organising or is that anal?
I think that makes sense to me. I don't do that. But if you have a lot, you could certainly do it by alphabet or, you know, sweet, savoury, although that can be used, talking about spices, that can be used for different purposes. But that makes sense for me. You just go and you can just...
It makes sense to me too, but it's a bit off to me.
Yeah,
as
long as it's not causing you any discomfort to have to put it back there.
Yeah.
And if the person's happy, it'd be different if someone was standing over you with a stick and saying, you must put that back in alphabetical order, and that wasn't how you would normally like to
order
yourself.
What about women who put all their shoes in colour-coded order?
I would like to have that many shoes, but again, that works well for
people. Do
that? Clear boxes so that you can see what they are, and rotating your winter shoes and your going out shoes and that sort of thing.
As a man, I find that unbelievable.
Yeah, same. I don't have a lot of shoes.
Where would you get a clear fronted box?
They're specially made shoe boxes that are clear.
And where would you get them?
Howard Storage.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think Kmart even have a version.
good idea.
Yeah, that it is great. Keeps the dust on off them, and then you can stack them nicely because shoes can't stack very
well. You can stack shoe boxes, but it's sometimes difficult from the outside to tell what's inside.
That's right. That's right.
Especially if it's not the original pair.
Yes. Yes, that's right. No, I like clear boxes for some reason.
Yeah, I do
even
too.
Even if it's, you know, you have a cardboard box and you write on it what it is.
Yeah.
It says, you know, scissors or whatever.
Yeah,
I still like to be able to see the scissors.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is, but...
Well, because scissors could be any number of different things.
Yeah. That is, but if you can see them, you would know exactly what they are.
I like that.
Yeah.
So you recommend that to people?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Mm. Like, again, if they have other boxes that they want to use, that's fine. You know, just want to keep it simple, whatever works for you.
And do you extend to the outside of the house?
Haven't just yet. Haven't yet.
Like
but
pets, for example. Pets can be a big issue.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I haven't.
No?
Do
you have a pet yourself?
No, I don't like pets. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Well, that's why you haven't extended.
I grew up on a farm.
Yeah.
So pets weren't really pets. Pets were working animals.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of people think that's really weird, but
no,
that's
I
just,
understand that.
Mm. Yeah. So I haven't done pets yet, but garages and that sort of thing is certainly a big one as well. Mm. You know,
garages, my goodness, they can be so disorganised,
So, again, I haven't worked with... Actually, you know, I have. I have worked with one of the mums from school on her garage.
Right.
We spent a few hours in there, and that was sort of enough to just kick-start her, and she got a bit of an idea from that, what she wanted to do.
Well, you can find a lot of storage space in a garage.
You can, and a lot of great gadgets, you know, hanging bikes vertically the wall and those sorts of things, and some different storage systems that go through the rafters to be able to put things on or hang them. So there's lots of different things that you can certainly do in a garage, but you need to make the time to do it.
Make a
commitment.
One of the advantages of a garage, it's not like inside where you might have paintings or something else. You have nothing on the walls normally.
That's true too.
So you can hang whatever you like.
That's right. Yep, use that vertical space. Definitely a great idea.
Mm.
How's your garage at home, Ian?
Well, right now it's as clean as a whistle because we're selling our house.
Of course.
We had to clean it all out. But normally it's not too bad.
Mm.
We have a nice big double garage and we don't have anything hanging on the walls.
No.
Because we have a storage cupboard there.
Okay.
And we have a room that sort of built into the ground. There's a room off the back. So
oh, good.
Plenty
good
of
storage.
Spots. Yeah.
Mm.
But when you sell your house, they expect it to look, the real estate agents, expect it to look uncluttered.
Yes.
And in fact, I don't mind saying on air, to the point of being sterile as far as I'm concerned.
Mm. Mm.
They came in to take photos yesterday and it was ridiculous what they moved.
Mm.
They took the mouse mat out from under the mouse because it didn't look good for the photo.
Yes.
So hang on a minute.
Mm.
It's a mouse. It's always on a mouse
a mat.
No. So our place right now has never been so clean.
No.
How long it's going to last, I'll tell you. It'll last till the auction.
Yes, that's right. And then
we'll go back to normal.
Get yourself set up in the new place.
But just to cut across what you do, folks, if you want to organise your place properly, forget about what Julie does. Just sell your house.
That's it. And then you just move it all out the road.
You have to.
Great idea.
Yep.
Well, it is often a good opportunity to go through what you have.
Yeah.
And if you can, make the time to declutter and go through and have a really good think about what you want to take to the next place.
Now, I don't know what you recommend to your clients, but I would recommend if you've got something you haven't, like clothing, if you haven't worn it for 3 years, you're never going to.
No.
But I might need it someday.
No, I know. And people say, oh, I love those size 10 pants that I used to wear. But by the time you get back into them, if you're a bit large in the size 10.
You won't be wearing them. That's right.
No. You want to go and buy something new and celebrate.
Oh, do you get that one? I can't get rid of that because Auntie Joan gave me that.
Yes, yes.
Auntie Joan's been dead for 20
years.
That's
right. Have you heard of Marie Kondo, the Japanese organising lady?
No.
She has written a couple of books about organising and she's very matter-of-fact as the process. And one of the ways she talks about letting things go is to thank them for their service and to be able to let them go. And that seems to work quite well.
Thank them for their service.
Thank them for their service.
I like that.
I told a story about I had this beautiful pair of patent leather pink shoes that my sister and I wore to a Kylie Minogue concert as a part of a costume.
Yep.
I wore them there, got blisters, couldn't wear them home, and when I got them home I really found it difficult to get rid of them. But when I read Marie's book and she said thank them for their service, I found it much easier to let them go, even though, they, as I said, the blisters were probably still there. But they've done their time with
me.
They've
done
their service, and I could just pass them on.
That's a really good idea.
Yeah. And another point that she talks about is holding each item and asking yourself, does it spark joy?
Does it spark joy?
So if you hold, again, go back to that pair of pink shoes, they did spark joy. That probably wasn't a very good example, but I remember the blisters, so we passed them on. But if you have a Auntie Jo's coffee mug that she gave you 20 years ago, and it's old and it just doesn't, do the joy.
And you're never going to use it anyway.
No. You can, she says, you're quite welcome to pass it on. And that just makes people feel much better about passing on gifts.
I liked it.
And the third thing she says about gifts is that the idea of a gift is in the receiving.
Mm-hmm.
Once it's been received, you experience that joy and that interaction and saying thank you.
Mm-hmm.
You're entitled to...
You've done your bit.
Yeah. Mm. Pass it on if it doesn't fit or you really don't like it.
Well, it's an interesting point. I've just been through this. We've been decluttering for some time in getting ready for our sale, and one of the things that's near and dear to my heart is books. And I'm very organised with books. I keep them in alphabetical order like a library. Otherwise I can't find them. I've got thousands of books, and I've had to get rid of some because we're downsizing, and every time I throw a book in the box for the op shop, it breaks my heart.
Yes, but remember, the person will be on the other end of that op shop.
And but I will ask myself from now on, does it spark joy?
Does it spark joy?
What I've been asking myself, Julie, is, am I going to read this again?
Yes, that's right.
No. Is it by a famous author? No. Is it a famous book? No. Is it in good condition? Out.
Yes. And another one that people find difficulty too is if it's cost them a lot of money.
Well, that's another problem. Yeah, my wife does that one. Well, I paid $120 for this, but it doesn't matter. It's a sunk cost. You're never going to get it back.
And some people look at it the reverse. I think Peter Walsh, the organiser that's on the living room, he talks about, well, how about you add up the real estate or the space that it's taking up in your wardrobe?
That's a thought.
And to looking at it.
But how would you value that?
Well, he does go through in one of his books, a price per square metre. That you've sort of, what your house is worth, basically.
Yeah.
And you think, well, if you've got all of that space and you still haven't got any room and you've got to put another room on your house.
That's true. But if you haven't got to that extent, if you're just tight for space.
Yes. It's still important real estate, isn't it? Hanging in your wardrobe. You don't want to have to sprawl over into the spare room.
You must
room.
Have a field day in people's wardrobes.
Yeah. And it is still a tricky one. Yeah. As we were just saying, it's difficult for them to let go. So you work through those three or four things that we talked about, and occasionally might be one of those that just the penny does drop, and they do find it much easier to pass things on. And often there are things hanging in there with tags on.
Yeah, I know. That's unbelievable, isn't it? And do you have a favourite op shop, or do you just leave it to them to decide?
Certainly leave it to the person to decide, and that does help as well. And there's some other great charities, St Kilda Mums and the Asylum Seekers Resource Centre, that the goods go straight to the people. They're so well received and so well appreciated.
Yeah, look, they're doing people a favour. That's one way of rationalising getting rid of the stuff.
Yes. Yeah. Definitely. Well, it's good.
I had last time, one of my daughters was still with us, and I looked in her wardrobe and she had about 25 coats. I'm not kidding. And I said, just take them to the op shop. Yes. She said, don't be stupid, Dad. That's where I got them.
Oh, yes, right. I think St Kilda Mums has just had a charity drive for coats, as you just mentioned. Yeah. So there's some great places that you can pass them on, and that does make people feel better about parting with their goods.
What would occasion people to get you in? What would they suddenly think, oh, I need some help here?
Sometimes it just gets too much. Their head just gets so full of things and thinking of, I need to do this and I need to do that, and oh, I've just got all this stuff I'm tripping over. Sometimes it is downsizing like yourself. Other times they might just be moving or relocating. But it often is they've just they've just had enough and they want things to be easier. And if you have less stuff to start with, it is, does seem to be easier to be able to manage and keep things organised.
Okay, there's something I want to ask you about the strategy for moving, but we, as I told you, we've got to play a message. We'll be right back, folks. We're going to play this message for you.
Lose the booze this October to help Aussie kids. By giving up alcohol for a month, you'll feel great and be helping Life Education and Healthy Harold deliver vital drug and health education to kids. Register online today by yourself or lose the booze as a group. Got a big event planned? Simply buy a leave pass online and still enjoy a drink without missing out on October. So what are you waiting for? Take the challenge and sign up at oxober.com.au now.
We're back, folks. It's 27 minutes past two, and I'm talking with Julie Cliff, who's a professional organiser. And what I want to ask you, Julie, is that I can see where it's going to be a wrench for some people to get rid of stuff. Is there a strategy where you can sort of pack it all up and put it in an interim spot and then decide later
on? Yes, yeah, that certainly is one way to do it. You can sort of set up a couple of boxes, like going, yes, definitely don't need that. We'll send it to the op shop. I'm not sure about that one. And things you're definitely going to keep. And often when they're out of sight, out of mind, you may never go back to that box again.
Yeah. When I was getting paid to work, I was in IT. And typically if you went to ask somebody if they needed a particular report, a printout, they'd say, oh, yeah, yeah, we've got to have it. And you didn't believe them. But you couldn't stop running it because you might get into trouble. So what we would do, we'd run it and not give it to them and for a month and see if anybody complained. And if nobody complained, then we'd stop running.
Yes.
It's the same sort of thing.
Yes, yeah, that's right. That's right. So just having that stepping stone, I suppose, of either not receiving the report or not having access to that, you can certainly think, oh, yes, I do need that slotted spoon. I will get it out of the box that I put it in the pantry for a while.
Well, that's people's fear that they're going to need it after they've thrown it out.
That's right.
But the best thing you can do if it's a cheap item, throw it out. If on the off chance you do need it, buy another
one.
You can
get another one.
At least
that's
it's new then.
That's right. Bunnings not far away. Kmart's not far away. No. You know, and that might be part of the problem too, that we have so much stuff.
Everything's throwaway now, though.
It is.
So it shouldn't be that difficult to throw stuff away.
No, that's true. Yeah. We don't want to add to that big pile, but yes, that's an easy way to look at it.
There must be a big pile somewhere.
Oh, I saw it on that War on Waste. ABC had.
So where is the big pile?
Well, they had it in the middle of the Bourke Street Mall. Yes, and it was quite a pile. That
really?
Was clothing.
Oh, clothing.
I can't remember the exact. I think it was something like the amount of clothing we throw out in 10 minutes.
Oh, must
and it
be
was
enormous.
As high as, you know, two stories.
Well, the op shops are well stocked.
They are. Yeah. They often turn things away, don't they, because they have so much.
Well, they won't take furniture because it takes up too much space.
That's true.
We've just been through this trying to get rid of furniture. No one will take it. It's a real pain.
Yes.
We basically had to give it to somebody who can use it.
That's right. Find a family friend or someone with a beach house that needs it.
Not even that. Just advertise it on Gumtree or whatever for free.
If they'll come
as soon
and pick
as you mention the word free,
they
come and pick it up.
Yeah, that's a great option.
So you don't get involved in what they do with the stuff. You just recommend what they throw out.
No, I do try and help them get rid of it as quick as possible because there would nothing worse than coming back a week later and the stuff's still sitting there.
That's
so
right.
If we can organise, you know, somebody to come and collect it on the day that I'm there, that's great. Or get them to jump in their car on the spot and go to the op shop.
Even better, while
the iron's hot. Yeah. I mean, I would be reluctant to take things myself because you don't want to put yourself in that position of taking their stuff. But we'd certainly try and get, if it was to be going, try and get it moving as quick as possible.
So if I've got this normal 3 or 4 bedroom house in the suburbs and I'm saying, oh, damn this, I need some help, and I get you in, how long do I have you for?
Well, you can pay by the hour mainly,
right,
and start with sort of a 3-hour package, and that is a good kickstart, and we can go through some good tools and some good strategies that I could teach you to be able to continue yourself. And once we got to the end of that 3 hours, you might go, oh, okay, yeah, good, I've
that
got that role on I need.
Is there some sort of publication you leave them on?
I do have, depending on the area that we're working in the house, it might be if we're working in the office, I've got a particular document about setting up your office and that sort of thing. So, yes, have some in my website, you know, information on there as well. But that
folks, we'll give you that in a minute, so get your pencils.
Yeah, so just that process of moving along and getting them kickstarted is often enough. But if they wanted me to come back each week for a few weeks,
Has that happened very much?
Yes. Yeah. I was working with a busy family not that long ago, and she's a very clever lady. She would schedule me to be there when she wasn't.
Yeah.
And because she just didn't have the time. She would be better off doing what she does best, and I come in and sort out the kids' toys, the linen press, the Tupperware.
But then how did she find anything when she got home?
That's a very good point. Yeah. we made a time for her to come and have a look. And it was all sort of set up where she had originally started putting it, just hadn't got into that habit of continuing.
But we are creatures of habit. I mean, we've just been through this. My wife was moving stuff while I wasn't there. When I got home, I couldn't find anything.
Yeah, right. So. Well, it just makes it easier for us. It's one less decision to make. If you know where something is, you don't have to decide where to put it or where it is.
Mm.
Just frees up a bit of brain space.
Mm. Oh, I can see where it'd be a huge advantage to people, especially for clothes and for stuff.
Yes, stuff. Toys.
Cutlery, crockery.
Yeah, linen.
People must have crockery sets that are 50 years old.
Oh, that's right. And gadgets, kitchen gadgets.
Oh, yeah?
Some kitchen gadgets you need, like a pasta maker, if that's what you're into and if that's what you use frequently. But I wouldn't have one because I'd probably use it once. And
I'm glad you didn't say a rice cooker because I reckon they're the most useless things of all time.
No, well, people would have them in their house and use them every day. So,
really?
But if you don't use one, don't have one.
I just don't get it. Sorry, we're changing the subject, but I read recently about brand new rice cooker and they said you get perfect rice in 25 minutes. Well, that's exactly how long it takes me to boil the water and cook the rice. So
that's right.
What am I gaining out of that?
Yeah, yeah. You don't have to stand there and stir it.
Don't have
or have it bubbling over the top and that makes a mess.
Oh, no, that never happens. But stirring
it. Oh, you're very good.
No, well, I don't mind giving you the recipe. It's easy. You boil the water.
Yeah.
You fill the saucepan halfway so it won't boil over. Boil the water.
Yep.
Tip the rice in.
Yes.
When you tip the rice in, at the same time, turn it down low onto simmer.
Yep.
And keep stirring for 20 minutes, 15 to 20 minutes, and you get perfect rice
every time. Look at that. I'll have to do that. Well done.
And the other trick is people will cook the rice and then they'll tip it out into the colander to get rid of the water.
Yes.
Don't do that because guess what? The rice suddenly gets cold. What you do is you take the lid from the saucepan and you hold it on top and you drain the water out with the lid basically still on and the rice stays hot.
Yes.
And then you tip it out on the plates.
In the hot saucepan.
Yeah.
Well done.
I like it.
I've learned something today. Well,
didn't know we were going to do rice recipes on this. It's unbelievable.
I thought that was with the next segment.
No. So, all right, so that sounds like a really big help to people. Mm. You go anywhere in Melbourne?
Anywhere in Melbourne? Yeah. And I was halfway to Adelaide two weeks ago.
Really?
Yeah, I grew up, as I said, in the country, so I went home to visit them. But, yeah, pretty well anywhere in Melbourne.
Hang on, where you grew up's not halfway to Adelaide. That's that way.
Conniva.
Oh, you said Shepherd? Oh, you're born in Shepherd.
I have some friends up that way.
Conniva's halfway.
Conniva's home. But yes.
So you're happy to go anywhere?
Mainly in Melbourne, though. Right. Half an hour sort of from Ashburton area.
Because people aren't paying your travel costs, are they?
No, unless it is quite a distance, then we would look at doing that. But no, I'd prefer not to have to charge them that.
No.
And usually try and squeeze it in a school day as well to work around my boys. So you don't want to be spending half your day travelling.
Well, that's a good idea for you. But it's also what you said a minute ago, a really good idea for you to work for people when they're not there because you're not wasting their time.
That's right, too. That's right. As I said, they're off doing what they do best and they get me in to do what I do best.
So where can they find out about you, Julie? What's your website?
Yeah, my business is Space and Time.
Space and Time.
Yeah, so
one word?
Yes.
Space and Time. Yep.
.com.au.
That's easy, yeah.
Or on Facebook, looking up Space and Time, you'll find me as well.
Good name.
Yeah, well, as I sort of alluded to during our chat is a lot of it to do with your problems with your space and not having enough time. So I like to work on.
So if it really is a problem of space, like the house simply isn't big enough, what do you suggest to them?
I haven't. That hasn't happened yet. You would usually be able to declutter enough for them to be comfortable in the space.
One of my daughters always has toys all over her house because it's really not big enough. They've got three kids and. there's not enough space. But no. They try and keep it tidy, but it's an uphill battle.
Yes, yeah. And again, just going back to that idea of keeping it simple for the kids, maybe not have quite so many toys out at once, and just trying to get them to pack up after themselves, even if it's just once a day before they go to bed, chuck it all in a box or that drawstring bag, and not having quite so much out at the one time, I think.
And do you recommend a hook to hang their school bag?
I would have liked a hook to hang my children's school bag, but we don't have one. My husband wouldn't let me put one in the...
What was his suggestion? He'll be laughing.
No, they just sit in the pantry on the floor.
As long as you know where they are.
We do know where they are. Yeah, so they, as we said before, they unpack
them. Pantry's an interesting one you just mentioned. Pantries, in my day, pantry was for food.
Yes.
These days, you've got everything in the pantry.
Your rice cooker that you
don't
use.
Your rice cooker, yeah. Your microwave oven, even.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Quite often because there's no space anywhere else.
That's true too, yeah. It's quite popular.
Well, it sounds like you're having an interesting job there.
Oh, it's great. It is really good. It's, very lucky to be able to help people and just make a difference to their life. And as I said, just with that little kickstart is often enough for them just
get
to be able
people going.
To have the confidence right. to do it themselves.
So is there a phone number they can reach, or is it on the website?
On the website, right. Or I can call my mobile, which is...
If you want to give it out.
0413-447-562.
Say again.
0413-447-562.
Terrific. And spaceandtime.com.au.
That's it.
And folks, it's Julie Cliff that I'm talking to. So when you ring that number, it'll be Julie that answers.
It will be me, yeah.
So good luck with all of that.
Thanks, Ian.
And thank you for coming on.
It's been my pleasure.
It's been my pleasure.
Good luck with the house move.
Oh, well, yeah. If I like, they say moving house is the third most stressful thing after the death of a relative and a divorce.
Oh, gosh.
And take my word for it. It's
it
true.
Mm.
It's true.
Mm.
It's unbelievable.
Good luck.
Thank you. It's 23 minutes to 3, folks. We'll have a bit of music and we will return.